You know, this week has certainly been a historic week in our nation. Anytime we elect a new president, it's a time that's going to go down in the history books. It's going to make a big change for our country. You know, this year, this election in particular, has seemed to bring its own fair share of headlines and news stories with it. It seems in its own ways that it's taken on a life that just has a different feel to it than many of the elections that we've experienced previously. And throughout this time, Brittany and I have had conversations, and even leading up until the day of, about what is God calling of us throughout this election? How is God speaking to us individually, as a community, as a nation? What is it that God is wanting from us? I think there are probably a lot of people in our nation who are hopefully praying those same prayers, asking for God's voice in their life, asking for God to lead them through this. But you know, I believe that now that the election is over, it can be tempting to sit back and say, well, now that that's done, we can wait until the next 4 years, and then again we'll come back and ask God, what do you want from us? And yet, we know that God is not done speaking to us. Just because an election is over does not mean that God is done talking. It doesn't mean that God doesn't still have something to say to you and I. Well, I believe that God is still speaking to each and every one of us, calling us forward into a new life as a community and as individuals. God is still asking something from all of us. The question is, are we open to hearing God's voice speaking to us? Are we open to God's message that is inspiring us and calling us forward to be game changers in this world? Are we able to hear the message that God has for us? I think that's the question that came up in our scripture lesson this morning for Samuel. Now, in the story, we find that Samuel was born to his mother Hannah, and when he was born, he was dedicated to God's service. He would go and live at the temple in Shiloh with Eli. Eli was the priest there. Eli kind of took him under his wings and helped to raise him in the temple to teach him how it was to be a priest. And it was there that Samuel was sleeping one night. Eli had grown older, and now Samuel was helping to take care of him in the temple. And Samuel was there, we believe, in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the place where the Ark of the Covenant resided. That was believed to be the actual dwelling place of God. And it was in the middle of the night when Samuel hears a voice cry out, "Samuel, Samuel." Thinking that it's Eli needing help from him, he goes up and he says, "Yes, what do you need from me?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." So Samuel does. And then a second time, God cries out, "Samuel." Samuel gets up and he goes to Eli thinking that he needs something. And he says, "Yes, what do you need from me?" Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." The scripture tells us that Samuel wasn't able to hear God's voice yet at this time. He didn't know it was God. And so a third time, God calls out, "Samuel." And he gets up and he goes back into Eli. And Eli, by this time, it says that he perceived that it was the voice of the Lord. Eli understood what was going on here. And he told Samuel, "Next time you hear this, say, 'Yes, Lord, speak, for thy servant hears.'" So Samuel goes and he lays back down, and again he hears the voice of God, "Samuel, Samuel." And finally Samuel speaks up and he says, "Speak, for thy servant hears." And God gives him a message, and he says that everyone who hears this message that I'm about to give, their ears are going to tingle because of it. Samuel had heard the voice of God, but yet he didn't recognize it when it happened. It took him four times before he finally understood that it was God speaking to him, trying to give him a new message. You know, I feel like I can relate to Samuel in this story. Sometimes I don't listen so well either. Brittany can attest to that. There are times where God speaks to us. We may recognize that something is happening, but we may not realize that it's God's voice in our lives, calling us forward in a new direction, calling us to something new in this world. But fortunately, you and I believe in a God who is persistent, a God who perseveres, a God who doesn't stop whenever we don't hear him the first time or the second time or the third time. God continues to call out to you and I. giving us that message of good news, that message that's going to make our ears tingle. The question is, are you and I able to hear the message and able to hear God calling us to be game changers? This morning, I want to conclude our sermon series on game changers. We've been talking about this over the last several weeks, and over this time, we've been looking at different sports figures, people who had made a difference in their sport, people who had changed not only their game, but in doing so, had changed the world in some way. We've looked at people like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Noshon Moreno and Arnold Palmer, looked at the ways that they have made a difference in this world. And we have said that we believe that God is able to use you and I to make a difference in the world too. With each of our own set of skills and strengths and gifts, that God can use us to be game changers. We've talked about how big sports are in our society. I mean, just yesterday we looked and there were over 150,000 people gathered in Norman and Stillwater yesterday to watch football games. There are little league sports going on all the way up through professional sports going on in our nation that dominate so much of our lives and what we do as a society. It's so important to who we are in our nation. And yet at the same time, we've said we can look at biblical characters. People who were everyday, average, ordinary people in the Bible who God was able to use to be game changers. People who made a difference. I believe that God speaks to us in a myriad of ways. God can speak to us through Scripture, through our personal devotion lives, through our Bible studies. There's an endless number of ways that God is able to speak to us in our lives. But this morning, I want to focus on two main ways that God is able to speak to us to call us forward to be game changers. First, I believe that God is able to use our own experiences and where we have been in life to speak to us. And that God is able to use those experiences for us to make a difference in the lives of others. God is able to meet us right where we are and use that place to be able to bless the lives of others. When we go back and look at the story of Samuel, he was born to his mother Hannah. Now you have to understand, Hannah had been barren. She had not been able to have any children, and so one day she was at the temple with her husband, and she was there praying, and she was crying out to God, "Oh God, if only you will allow me to have a child, I will dedicate him to your purposes, to be your servant." Well, it was Eli who was the priest in the temple at the time, and he heard Hannah crying out, and he went to her and he said, "Woman, your prayers have been heard." And Hannah would go on to have a son. She named him Samuel. And true to her word, she dedicated him to God's purposes. He would be a Nazarite. Now, the Nazarites were a special group of people who were set aside to serve God. They lived very strict lifestyles. They had certain rules that they had to live by. They weren't allowed to cut their hair. They weren't allowed to drink wine or any kind of strong drink. Well, these were people who were set apart, specially designated for God's purposes. And that was the life that Samuel would live. Samuel went to live with Eli at the temple to be able to learn how to be a priest, to live his life for God. And it was there where Samuel was, and he was taking care of Eli. We believe that Samuel was about 12 years old at this point, and he was sleeping one night in the temple. It says that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. The lamp of God was a special lamp, a oil-burning lamp that would have been near the inner sanctuary inside the temple. We believe that it was probably late into the night, almost morning, because the lamp had not yet gone out. The lamp would have had just enough oil in it to make it all night long until morning. So just before daybreak, Samuel is there, and it says that he's sleeping near the Ark of God in the inner sanctuary, the place where God's very presence is here on earth. That was what they believed. So Samuel is there, and he's sleeping. And it's there that God calls out to him. Samuel's life could have led him in any number of directions. But it was because he had been dedicated to God's purposes, because he lived as a Nazarite, because he happened to be taking care of Eli, because he was sleeping there in that place at that time, that he was able to hear God speak. God met him right where he was and called out to him. I believe that God meets you and I right where we are in life. God is able to speak to us through our own experiences, the good times and the difficult times. And God is able to use those to bring us a message of hope and love that will bless the lives of others for generations to come. You know, anybody that knows me knows how much I love golf. I love to play golf. I love watching golf. I love the history of the sport. I think it's a beautiful game. One of my favorite golfers throughout history has been Gary Player. Gary Player started out as a young golfer from South Africa. He was an incredibly talented player, but it turns out that Gary didn't have the greatest childhood growing up. When he was still young, his mom passed away. His dad was working in the gold mines in South Africa and was gone for long days, was rarely home. His older siblings were off and away from other places, and so Gary kind of grew up alone, very poor. But it turned out that he had great talent for golf. He would go on to become a professional, and it was in his first U.S. Open. Gary was coming up at the very last round, and he was in contention to win. It got to the 18th hole, and it turned out by this point that Gary had fallen back a couple of strokes, and it became obvious that he was not going to win this U.S. Open. He turned to the guy who was next to him. He was the president of the Professional Golf Association, the PGA. He turned to him and he said, "Don't tell anybody this, but if I would have won, I would have given all of that check, all of that winnings, back to charity. Don't tell anybody that, but that's what I'd like to do someday." It would only be a few short years later that he would go on to win his first PGA tournament, the U.S. Open. And sure enough, he came up to the 18th green. They were celebrating. They gave him his trophy. They presented this giant check to him, and he turned right around and he gave it back to charity. See, Gary Player knew where he had come from. He knew his own past and his own experiences, where he had been. He said, "I want to be able to give back and bless the lives of other children, children who have been through things like I have." Gary Player has gone on throughout his career and now in retirement, and he started the Player Foundation. The whole idea of the Player Foundation was to support children who are in poverty, to help provide them an education that otherwise would not be possible. It was because of his own life experiences that he said, "I want to be able to do this for others. I want to bless other children's lives." I want to read you what Gary Player had to say about his foundation and what he's been doing. "Growing up as a boy in South Africa was not easy for our family. My mother died when I was just 8 years old. My father was busy working in the gold mines, while my brother was off fighting in World War II, and my sister was at boarding school. We did not have a lot of money. With the travel my profession and wins have afforded my wife Vivian and I, we have seen the poverty and enormous needs around the world. We have gained great satisfaction from giving something back to the world in moments of success. I have found that the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others does not thrust itself upon us, but we do not need to look hard for it either. When you spot the chance to give back to the world, act on it. You will have made life better for others and for yourself." Those opportunities to make a difference in the lives of others, they may not thrust themselves upon us, but we also don't need to look hard for them. There are opportunities in our lives every single day, right where we are, where God is speaking to us, calling out to us, and is able to use our own experiences to make a difference in the lives of others. And when we do that, we find that it makes a difference in our lives as well. Second, sometimes it's hard to hear God's voice or to know what God's voice sounds like in a world with so much noise. But yet I believe that we can know God's voice based on the message that we hear. You know, often in our world we are bombarded with our cell phones attached to us. We're getting text messages and emails constantly. Social media has us constantly attached to the world and what's going on. We get the news, we're on radio, we always have noise that's coming at us. And being able to distinguish what is the Word of God and what is something else can sometimes be difficult. But yet I believe that when we come to know who God is, it becomes easier to find out God's message. When we come to grow in our faith, when we come to be more mature in our faith, we know the character of God. And God's message will always line up with what we know to be true about God. When Samuel was growing up there in the temple, he was just a young boy, 12 years old, still young in his faith. Although he was doing great things at this point, he still was not at a point where he was able to understand when he heard God's voice. It took Eli, somebody who was older, somebody who was more mature in his faith, who had lived some life, who had some wisdom. It was Eli who was able to help him in that moment to say, what you're hearing is God's voice. Sometimes I think we find ourselves in Samuel's shoes, young in our faith, still needing room for growth, having a hard time understanding who God is and God's message for us. And we need to rely on the people around us to help us hear God's voice. And other times we're more like Eli, where we are the ones who have been growing in our faith, who have been doing our devotions and our Bible study, who have been learning what God's message is all about, so that we are in a place and prepared to help those who are coming behind us to hear God for themselves. Samuel would go on to become one of the greatest prophets in the nation of Israel, but it took Eli to help him get to that point. It was Eli who helped him hear that message. You know, John Wesley would talk about this story in terms of prevenient grace, that sometimes God speaks to us, God loves us, God's grace and mercy are shown to us, and yet we don't always recognize it. We don't always understand God's message whenever it comes. John Wesley would be the founder of Methodism, the Methodist movement, and I believe that that's still true for us today. Sometimes God is at work in our lives in ways that we don't even recognize. We have to be open to hearing that message and to understanding that that could be God calling to us in a new way. When Helen Keller was just a young girl, she had a terrible accident. She became deaf and blind. She would not be able to see or hear for the rest of her life. Her parents still wanted her to have a normal childhood, to grow up as much as possible, to have some sense of normalcy. They still wanted her to learn things and be able to grow. It was Anne Sullivan who came up with the system to be able to sign into her hands to communicate with her. So Helen's parents had Anne go with her, and they would teach her all kinds of different things about the world, about science, about the language. But they also wanted her to learn about God. And so they were able to get in touch with the preacher, Philip Brooks. You may know Philip Brooks by one of the great Christmas carols that he wrote, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Philip Brooks was one of the great preachers of his day, and they had Helen come to him, and Anne Sullivan would be the one to communicate between them. Philip began to teach her about God in the most simple ways that he could, telling her who God was, that God was a God of love and mercy. God is a God of hope. As Anne began communicating these things in her hands, all of a sudden Helen began to get excited, and she communicated back and she said, I know this person you speak of. He's been with me all along. I just didn't know his name. How often in our lives has God been showing his love and mercy to us? How often has God been speaking to us? We just didn't know or recognize that it was God. When we come to know who God is, that God is a God of hope, we're able to recognize God's voice and God's message in our lives, in the good times and in the difficult moments. We're able to have faith in God's love for us, trust in God's love for us. And we can always hear that message coming through. You know, it was almost 3 years ago, March 30th of 2014, that we launched St. Luke's Edmond at Sequoia Middle School. It was there that we were beginning in the early days, and there were several families who had come from our downtown campus to come and help us start St. Luke's Edmond. One of those families was Matt and Natalie Burns. At the time, Natalie was pregnant, about to have her second son. They had adopted their son, Fisher, just a few months earlier, and their son, Will, was about to be born. Will would be born just a few months after we opened the Edmond campus, and he would be the first baby born here at St. Luke's Edmond. But it was just a few short days later that, tragically, Will would also become the first death at St. Luke's Edmond. Earlier this week, I asked Matt and Natalie if they'd be willing to share their story and how God has been able to speak and continue to offer a message of hope in their lives. I want you to take a look and listen at what they had to say.
Three years ago in the month of November, we learned we were pregnant with Will just 6 weeks after we had brought Fisher home from the hospital, having adopted him at infancy. It was in January, 6 months before Will was ultimately born, that we found out he had a very high likelihood for trisomy 18, which is a chromosomal condition that is really quite deadly for a child. It was a challenging 6 months to be pregnant, to wonder every day if he would still be with us the next day. But no more in my life had I ever felt God's presence than during that very difficult pregnancy. Regular feedings with Fisher meant that I had Fisher and I had Will just inches away from Fisher, so the two brothers were close many times a day, and that was the time that I was in prayer most often with God. And I don't think we felt a lot of bitterness. We just felt sure that Will was meant for us and grateful that God had given Will to us.
Prayed every day that we would just have an opportunity to meet our son, and we feel so fortunate and blessed.
June 2nd of 2014, he was born, and when he was delivered, I just remember feeling absolutely peaceful.
Was rushed out of the room with him and got to see him take his first breath in this world.
Ultimately, we got to meet him, and he lived on this earth for 3 days.
He made it through a couple of nights. I got to spend a couple nights with him, and there was a Yankees game on, and I'm a big Yankees fan, so we got to watch a game together.
We had wall-to-wall windows in our room, and he passed with the rising of the sun that morning.
I don't think you can go through that experience, though, without, at some point, asking the obvious, which is why. And here we are with so much love to give a child, and for whatever reason, God's plan for this child and for our family was to experience sort of this journey. A short time after Will's passing, we left the hospital. We were driving up I-35, and it's sort of been misty and raining a little bit, which
I kind of felt was like God sharing in our sadness that day. It had the feeling of exactly the right weather matching kind of how we felt as we left.
We stopped and pulled off the road, and we looked to the west, and the sky just opened up for the sun to appear from pretty dark clouds. I took the photo. For me, maybe symbolized that Will was being welcomed home.
Those sun rays coming through, it was a moment of welcoming and reassurance. He's in such a better place, away from pain.
It was absolutely a sign. It was a sign that God is with us, and we're not alone. We're never alone.
Oh my goodness, what a joy it is going to be reunited, to meet God and Jesus, and to be reunited with loved ones, and to get to know Will in a way that we didn't get to know him here. We felt very led toward wrapping Will's legacy into a future church building that was going to welcome families and specifically children forever and ever and ever, and open arms to Christ. The Welcome Center that's right there in the children's area near the fish tank and across from the playground is Will's Welcome. Right now there's a temporary banner that's showing that sky with the sun rays shooting through the dark clouds.
And in our hope with Will's Welcome Area, we hope that as parents like us drop their kid off before heading to services, that maybe there's a moment of pause. Maybe you can have a moment to pause and say, I'm really, really lucky to have what I have. His life is a constant reminder that we have to be kinder.
We need to support each other because trials are happening everywhere to everyone all of the time. And God, and we need to find God in those.
Will's loss in some ways would have been even more challenging if God hadn't blessed us months earlier with Fisher mm-hmm. and him being in our lives. That's really good.
What's that called? The legacy that he leaves even at our new church now for other children. It's amazing, and it's incredibly clear that God is in all of it.
In the good times and in the difficult moments, we can trust and believe that God is a God of love, that God is a God of hope. And when we know that, we can hear God's message speaking in our lives, calling us to make a difference for those around us, calling us to make a difference in the lives of children for generations to come. God is still clearly speaking to us in our world. God is calling us to be those who make a difference in our community. God is calling to us to be those who share a message of hope and love with others. God is calling to us to be game changers. It's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let each of us lift up our own silent prayers.